Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It is the third hour of Free Talk Live. The telephone number in the studio, 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join us, we've got some calls on hold. We'll get to those in just a moment. I want to remind everybody that we were asking for you to write letters to Ian Freeman's judge, the founder of this program. To help curry a light sentence from the judge by highlighting all of the positive things and effects that Ian has had on the community at large, meaning, you know, listeners, anybody who's participated in the Free State Project, all that kind of stuff. The time for writing the letters is, you know, as we know, we had a partial sentencing hearing that's got, for lack of better terms, continued. And so we're looking at October 2nd, I believe, is the date.
Yep, I believe so. Monday.
So we are asking folks to show up. We know that media will be there. We know that there are two documentaries currently in production that will attend. WMUR was there. NBC Boston was there. We expect those folks to return. A big turnout for this thing will help show folks that the freedom-oriented community has support. We are not just, you know, a renegade ragtag bunch of folks talking into microphones, right? That there are real people here that care about freedom, that care that Ian Freeman is being railroaded for engaging in a technology that has yet to be legislated upon. Right? They're shoehorning this new technology into what I call old tech rules, and it's totally wrong, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So if you can mark your calendars for that date, once we get, you know, more firm on it, we'll let you know, like, a time and all that kind of stuff. It'll be at the same place in Concord.
55 Pleasant Street in Concord.
Nikki's got it memorized now.
Yeah.
She's been there so often.
Yep. Yeah, actually, yes.
You know, I wouldn't use myself as an example, but I am coming to see Ian's sentencing. I hope that, you know, I thought about what it would be like if I didn't come. Ian didn't ask me to come. I thought about it, what it would be like if I didn't come and what it would be like if I did.
I'm sure Ian didn't ask anybody. I asked a bunch of people.
Yeah, I
went on the radio and was like, look, this is it, right?
Yeah.
Come down.
Be there
this,
or be square.
Yeah, be like, Ian will never cash in that favor. I, however, will ask you to cash it in. Right?
Yeah.
Not you, but like the listeners and those people who are here as a result of Free Talk Live and all of that kind of thing.
People considering themselves activists,
yes.
I think, yeah, you should be there.
Absolutely. Ian Freeman is probably one of the most prolific activists New Hampshire has ever seen.
Well,
certainly in the top five. I can't think of anyone more prolific, but, you know, I also am not from here.
Yeah, I just decided that it was worth it for my time and energy. I wanted to know, and I wanted to be there.
Well,
I don't know that being there is particularly useful, but I think it's got to put some pressure on somebody.
I think it looks good to have large support.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's hilarious that they claim that the Shire Free Church isn't a religion. And then we've got all these people showing up and exhibiting, I don't know, cult-like behavior, right? Like, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying it's very much a religion.
What is?
Shire Free Church is,
oh, yes.
Belief system.
Government is also a religion. So now you've got one religion telling another religion it's not real.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We have
Piggyback off of that really quick? I just wanted to say something. Aria has been sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
18 months.
Yeah.
And she would really appreciate it if people send her letters. That is something that like really makes her day when she receives a letter.
Where can especially, folks find that information?
So on ariadomezzo.com, there's all of the information you need. There's like the address, how to, you know, address the letter and whatnot, to be able to send her mail. You can also, there's some information on how to send her money to put it in her commissary. It's really confusing to do, but if you take some time to figure it out, she would really appreciate that as well. Those things are incredibly helpful. And receiving mail, especially from people that, like, not, like, people like me who's, you know, sending her mail all the time, whatever, like a random person or a listener or whatever, even if she has no clue who you are, that would absolutely make her day. And she's in federal prison right now, yep. And it is all about the little things. Like, she doesn't have a lot of whatever. She's in a bad situation right now, and right. It is really the little things that are keeping her spirits up, and it would absolutely mean the world to her. So I just wanted
what
to
else
say
can
that.
You send? Because it used to be you could send stamps, you could send pictures, like photographs.
I don't know. I would go to the BOP website for the specific FMC. Yep, the BOP. For the specific FMC Devens, Massachusetts location. It will have a little bit better details on that, but I know you can print out, like, photos. So if you have a picture with Aria, that might be a really sweet thing to print out on your computer, and you can send that. I think you can send up to 25 images at a time. If you're local and you happen to, like, see her dog or something, snap a picture, print that out, send it to her. Like, just little things like that, it would really
be
a lot.
Or just any golden retriever. I mean, they look so similar.
Yeah, she wouldn't even know the difference.
Aria's dog was at Ian's hearing, though.
I know. She's such a good girl.
She's the best.
She's such a beautiful dog, too.
Mm-hmm.
I would say another thing to send, if you're going to send letters, is I like to photocopy word puzzles. Just puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of puzzles.
Right, yeah.
So Sudoku, whatever it is
right.
Your preference.
To keep the mind occupied for a period of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like the logic puzzles, you know, if this, then that. You know, so there's a lot of those. And, you know, I mean, nobody else likes them, but I bet you Aria does.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I mean, she told me today when I went to visit her that somebody had sent her like a piece of wrapper from something they were eating. It was just something completely ridiculous. And then in the letter he wrote just something completely random, but she received it, and it still, like, put it, she was like, it was kind of, like, dumb, but it was just funny. It was amusing, and it put a smile on her face. So literally anything you send her, she will be absolutely grateful for.
Yep. I memorized all of the fat content of all the stuff that was available in the inmate canteen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's not very much to do.
Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. Let's start with Robert in South Carolina. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I asked my parents about circumcision, and they said that the reason why they thought it was a good idea is because they were afraid that an infection could develop between the head of my penis and the underside of my foreskin, and they figured that they believed that would be safer. The other thing is that my father's side of the family was Jewish, my mom's side of the family was Christian, and they both believed that the Jewish laws for that related to that were actually developed because over many centuries, I mean actually over millennia, the Jewish people developed those rules and regulations, and after having observed other people for very long periods of time, that's how they came up with the kosher.
Would you support taking a scalpel to a newborn and cutting off their left arm because the belief of your religion was that left-handed people are the devil's work?
No, because my stepfather was left-handed and he was brilliant. In fact, a lot of people believe that people who are extremely, who are ambidextrous, brilliant, and also have very good use of their hands, and my stepfather did surgery and that kind of thing. And it's quite the opposite. They think that people who are left-handed are actually maybe even a little bit better, but no, I certainly wouldn't.
Okay.
That's all I got. I mean, again, people have their own feelings, and I think we have to let, as libertarians, I think we have to let humankind go the way that it wants to go, whatever that means. And we're going to take a lot of blind turns.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, thanks for the call, man. Moving right along, let's go to Bata. It's Major Payne calling from Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, good evening. Yeah, Captain, after spending an hour talking about penises, you certainly should have seen a Moby Dick joke coming.
That is That is a
yes. Although to my credit, I did admit being a little slow on Sundays.
Well, you've obviously never read the book, but I can. If you watch the movie In the Heart of the Sea, it condenses the whole thing plus the writing of it down to just a couple hours. It's a good movie, real good movie.
All right, what were you calling about tonight?
Well,
I feel like that movie, you know, has you. Like it does a great job of making you feel like, yeah, you know, you're rooting for the whale at certain points, and I love that part of it. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I just had to chime in with that.
That's what we do.
No, Mark, you're right. I mean, it's entertaining through and through, and it takes you through all pretty much aspects of emotion you can think about. But you mentioned earlier how Ian would say something like, oh, yeah, burn the cop cars, and you'd object to him. Well, this came across my radar probably 3-4 weeks ago, and I just kept forgetting to call in and tell you about it. Up in, I think it was Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, up in the UP. Might have been Ishpeming or one of the other little burgs. But anyway, some guy, and he was from Florida, no less, lit 5 state police cars on fire.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they caught him because, you know, a state trooper parking lot's going to have video surveillance up the yin-yang.
His name...
I think where he made his mistake is then he decided to shoot all the damn cars.
Was alcohol involved?
Major, was there alcohol involved?
Probably so, and probably some kind of screwing by that particular post, too, I would imagine.
It reminds me of the Cool Hand Luke movie. By the way, out of Florida, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Right, yeah. So,
English, boss.
Wait, when was this? Do you remember, Major? Approximately.
What's that?
When this five?
Oh, it was probably about a month ago it came to light.
So it was before Mark visited New Hampshire.
It could be. Just a quick in out there in Michigan.
I didn't say that. I'm just pointing out evidence.
Well, the other one, have you guys heard about this kid that was murdered by the police down south like 11 years ago?
Which one?
Been festering like a pimple ever since.
There's so many of these.
It's come to light. The guy's name is, Billy Joe Johnson.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's Alabama, Mississippi, or Georgia that this transpired in.
Is it Louisiana, maybe?
The cops ended up beating him, you know, real bad, blowing his head off with a shotgun.
Wow.
Claiming it was suicide because he had his own shotgun in the truck. He'd been out hunting earlier that day. But his crime in life was that he liked to date white women. And that was not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like 5 white cops going down for this. And then 5 black cops going down for it, too, just because they stood back and watched and didn't do anything about it.
Right.
But it always makes me smile when they finally get some of their own damn comeuppance.
I feel bad when anybody gets 10 years. If you're saying 10 years, that may not be the – I don't know what the length of time is. But I always wonder about going after people who – you know, it's years and years ago. There was a bomber of a black church down in the south. They got there was Carl Demjanjuk, who was like the butcher of Dachau or something like that.
That name vaguely.
Yeah, they grabbed these people who have lived lives since whatever the crime was that occurred, and usually it's pretty heinous. And they've turned into somebody different now. You know, they're not the same person that they were. And then going after them, it just feels very much like trying to feed the crowd. Yeah! Kill him! Right. You know, and it just doesn't make much sense to me personally. I don't like the old crimes when they get back. I'd like to know about somebody who did something recently.
That recently happened with Danny something. I forget what his last name is, but he was one of the actors in the TV show That 70s Show, and he was just prosecuted recently for a rape that happened, like, allegedly happened 20, 25 years ago, or something like that.
Yeah,
I've heard about that. Which one of the characters was he?
Hyde.
Hyde,
curly hair. Yeah.
That is who I thought it was. I had that picture in my head as soon as I heard it, but I didn't know his name.
Yep.
Yeah, he's the brother of the guy who played Doogie Howser.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You can, I mean, if you look at them side by side, you get it.
30 years to life on September the 7th for his forcibly raping two women. Must be at different times. After being found guilty in a retrial earlier this year. So, there you go.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. And obviously, like, I don't want to condone rape, but...
No!
It just seems like... it just seems like that should have happened. I mean, okay, so now, if you really think about it, if this guy's dangerous out here raping people...
took him 20 years to figure it out or whatever?
So he's out on the loose for 20 years. I mean, at this point, yeah, kind of like, what is the point of prosecuting him? And it's like... I'm sure he's grown up a lot since he was 20 years old or whatever.
Let's just
again,
say,
not to excuse it, but it just doesn't make sense
to me. Let's just say that, for the sake of argument, I'm not saying that this is the case because it likely isn't from what I know about government. Let's just say they got it right and the dude's guilty.
Yeah.
All right, let's just say that for the moment. Well, first of all, this notion of swift justice.
Yeah, what a joke.
out the door. Right. Also, you just said it was a retrial. So, like, something went wrong with the system in the first place that they didn't get it right. They had to go at it again.
Can you do that after 25 years? I thought there was, a limit.
You know, whenever you think that there's something the government can't do, they go ahead and they do it.
Yeah.
And they figure out some way, some weasel way to, like, oh, well, it's because of this and that and the other thing that we can do. Like, that doesn't pertain to this.
Well, because we make up all these rules and we do literally whatever we want and you can't stop us.
That's the translation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His first rape trial, which began in October 2022, was declared a mistrial that November after its jury was unable to reach a final verdict on the three counts after seven attempts and a week-long break for Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
So this was one trial for two victims?
Three.
Three victims.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if he got... It doesn't look like it was three trials. It looks like it was
one
two.
Trial for where he was convicted on two counts.
That's what it seemed like I read.
Yeah. Okay, so there were three alleged victims in the trial. He was found guilty, not guilty?
I guess.
Hmm, interesting.
It's all, I mean, I don't want to retry. Like, I don't know what they saw and why they saw it, but I will once again go on record every opportunity I get. Juries suck.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, there's absolutely nothing else in this world where you would take 12 ignoramuses and ask them... whether or not what they think about a particular thing. I'm not going to ask 12 people who don't know how to fix a car to fix a car. You know what I want? I want a jury of judges. Maybe it's three, maybe it's five, whatever the number is. But in most countries, they have three judges sitting there. They're going to examine the law, and they're going to say, you know, whatever this is, it looks like we've reached a conclusion that beyond a reasonable doubt. And a judge knows what a reasonable doubt is. A juror doesn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm not standing up for Masterson. I don't know what happened here. Again, I do think he's probably a different person. If the charges they had to bring up were between 2001 and 2003, I've already stated I don't like old convictions, but I don't like juries either.
Yeah, I just feel like if there was supposed to be a new trial, like it should have happened immediately. You know what I mean?
Well, the new trial happened immediately. It's just that they didn't bring him up until 2022.
Huh.
Major?
Well, all of these sex offender scams, I think, need a whole lot more investigation than they get, because I remember many years, all you had to do pretty much was piss off your old girlfriend, and she'd go make some statement about you diddling her kid, and your life is ruined.
That still happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I know it still happens. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's really no basis behind these convictions.
Yeah. Even worse, there have been laws that have been put into place. Washington State is one of them, where if you merely cohabitate with a woman and she has children from another man, and you're there for, I don't remember what the time is, 6 months, a year, something like that, some weird version of common law kicks in.
It's your baby now.
And if you leave the household, you move out, you break up, she can sue you for child support.
Literally doesn't even make sense.
You're not the dad. You did not give birth. They have a father. And she's receiving child support from the original, the father. But yet, if you cohabitate with her and then move out, she can sue you for additional child support.
They're just trying to make single moms even more desirable.
The other thing they're doing is the state gets like 65% of that. The mother only gets like 35%. So they just want to figure out a way to put more fat in the coffers.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I don't know what the percentages are, you know, anywhere really on child support. I've never paid child support. I have no children that
I understand, the state will write a check. And then you're sort of making up for it,
right,
and things like that.
They're the collection agency. They're trying to collect it from you at that point. Yeah, absolutely.
At one point, me and my ex-wife were separated. I had the children under my roof, my full support, and I was paying child support to her mother, who had nothing to do with their scenario at the time.
Yep, I've heard of that happening before, too. Mm-hmm.
The damn government.
Yeah. Hey, Major, thanks for the call. It's government. Here, have some.
No, thanks.
That's a phrase I used to use all the time online. You know, there'd be some story about, can't believe that the government would do it. No, actually, I believe it. Hear it all the time. Talk about it all the time on this show. It's government. Here, have some. It's just, you know, they're here to protect and serve the crap out of you.
When people have responsibility removed, and that's what government is. This is a lack of responsibility.
It is. It's the absolution of responsibility.
Not necessarily absolution, because sometimes, you know, I remember a story where
that's
a cop
the way people look at it.
Was mowing his lawn in his underpants, and, you know, police departments cannot handle sexual allegations. And the same as that 70s show, apparently can't handle them. Whereas you can do anything else you want as a police officer, but just can't do anything that is vaguely sexual.
Right.
So this guy mowing his lawn in his underpants lost the case.
Because it was vaguely sexual.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm really not.
Fired.
Yeah. None of this stuff surprises me. Like, I want to be outraged. I want to be, like, full on, like, holy crap, you guys, look at what the hell is happening in the world. And, like, it's just so common now, all of this wrongness, all of this mistreatment of people, all of these people being too lazy to do things themselves. Oh, you think that the Ukraine war is justified? How come you're not over there fighting it? How come you didn't strap on boots and, you know, buy your airfare over there and, you know, put on some fatigues? And how come you're not fighting that yourself? How come you're not over there? Take some responsibility. I say the same thing to politicians. Oh, you want to bomb a foreign country? Well, why don't you go over there and fight them first?
That's what I think they should do instead of war. They should just have, you know, like Putin and Zelensky, the other guy, like just have them
like
do like a
cage
fight.
Yeah.
Put them in the octagon.
WWE style.
Yeah.
I think they could totally. This is a great way to handle violent conflict because, you know, I mean, really, what's the president? What's Biden doing day in and day out? I don't know, but I suspect that a professional wrestler would do a better job.
He's probably better at drooling.
So, you know, why not give them long knives and see if they can handle it?
603-283-6160. Final segment of the Sunday Night Free Talk Live. Still to come.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their three-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump is weighing in on a partial government shutdown. The former president telling NBC's Meet the Press he would support a government shutdown if there's no fair deal to cut spending.
We have to save our country. We have $35 trillion in debt. We have to serve our country.
Would you shut down the government? You'd support that?
I'd shut down the government if they can't make an appropriate deal, absolutely.
The UAW is continuing their strike against General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis. Michigan Democratic Congresswoman Debbie Dingell tells CBS's Face the Nation that she feels empathy for workers and says everyone deserves to make a decent living.
All workers. Everybody in this country benefits when workers are paid well.
Powerball players are licking their chops as Monday's estimated jackpot is set for $652 million. Tim Berg, USA News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Segments of tonight's episode of Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Nikki.
And Mark.
Let's just go ahead and go to Sarah in New Mexico calling. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, I just want to say that New Mexico, we lost our number one ranking this year. We dropped to the second place.
Of what?
As pedestrian fatalities per capita.
Oh, who beat you out?
I think it was Memphis, Tennessee or something.
Oh.
Well, it had to be a state, right? Or is it by metro, like Albuquerque?
I think it goes by state.
All right. So what? New Mexico is now number two in pedestrian deaths?
Yeah, per capita.
Are you going to take this as a victory? I mean, like, your tireless activism for pedestrians has managed to drag New Mexico out of the number one spot. Sarah, I for one,
how long
believe that you are a heroine.
22 years.
22 years of pedestrian. I mean, that's a long time.
I know. It's like not getting abducted by an alien. I've managed not to get hit by a car at all.
Well, I hear both of those things can happen in New Mexico.
I guess so. But I do take a credit that I'm making fun that we lost our title, but you know, I One of the good things about what happened was that we changed our road structure. So there was a lot of two car lanes going one way, two car lanes with the yellow paint. So we narrowed many of the streets into two car lanes and bicycle lane and widened sidewalks. We've done that a lot.
You were out there like shoveling and laying down the asphalt. When you say we, you were helping, you were pitching in?
No, I've always called 311 City Directory, and I've always asked for these roads, and I am still asking this for this road. I have a road like maybe 2 miles away, Candelaria, and it's two car lane going one way, no bicycle lane, and the sidewalk is like 4 feet with a yellow paint line.
That sounds horrible.
Your life. Oh, it is. It was made only for cars. It was just only thing that I ever thought about was car flowing.
A road only made for cars. Who would do such a thing?
I did look it up, and the National Transportation Safety Administration here, the NTSA, has still got Mexico as number one. But this is important.
New Mexico,
number one, as per capita, the population by 100,000 is their number one, but only barely above South Carolina. But South Carolina has had a lot more deaths, and of course California significantly more than that. It's by
per capita.
So you know, interesting.
So I thought we dropped to the regular. Are we still number one? I thought it was Memphis, Tennessee.
Currently, what I'm seeing,
this is probably data from last year.
Yeah, this is data from 2020.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know when they update their website or anything like that, but from 2020, New Mexico, where it has been. I've probably been looking at 2020 numbers for a couple of years now.
Yeah,
is still number one.
Well, sir, congratulations on your hard-earned victory.
Yep.
We appreciate the call.
Only Sarah could do it.
Well done. So I want to talk about this story from RT.com because Nikki has some expertise in this area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how this is possible. We were talking a little bit about this off air, and you said some words that made me go, oh, maybe it is possible.
Oh, yeah, I knew immediately.
But yoga class mistaken for a ritual mass killing.
That's how you know, it's kind of maybe a little bit of a red flag that you, like, read the title to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I could totally see how that would happen. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
I read that, and I'm like, I don't even understand this. Like, I'm imagining some guy who has, you know, walked into, I don't know, pick up his wife from yoga class or something, right? And, like, he sees this horrific thing, this horrific scene, and he runs out, or he calls 911, or he runs down to the police station and is like, I don't know what happened, but all these people in yoga pants are dead.
I don't think it's a guy.
Okay. All right.
I just feel like that level of worry is difficult for a man to generate.
Well, police discovered that yogis practicing a corpse pose were not, in fact, dead.
You guessed that, didn't you?
Yeah, that's exactly what I
you
said
did before the show. You said it.
What is, let's get into the article first, and then I'll ask questions.
Okay.
A yoga class in the English county of Lincolnshire was briefly thought to be the scene of a grisly ritual mass murder. They put it in italics. When members of the community alerted the police after mistaking a group of meditating yogis as being victims of a killing spree. So first of all, members of the community, more than one person, they're insinuating here. Five police cars arrived at the North Sea Observatory in Skegness on Wednesday evening.
That'll kill a vibe.
After dog walkers raised the alarm to a group of seven people lying prone on the ground in a dimly lit room with an eighth person walking around their apparently lifeless bodies. So you gotta jump from that to, oh my God, there's been a mass murder.
Well, what if you just called it in and you're like, I have no idea what's going on here, but this is what I saw. I saw seven people lying on the floor, what appeared to be lifeless, they are in the corpse pose, and one person walking around amongst them. You can draw your own conclusions, police department, and then of course they would.
Maybe I have been conditioned to think of this type of a gathering where people are doing yoga. Like, normally people are in the requisite yoga attire.
Yeah.
Normally they're, you know, maybe they got their hair up or they're in, you know, wearing a sweatband. A lot of these yoga people, they bring their own mats.
Yeah, so right? They're on a mat.
They're, like, on a mat. And, like, these are, like, key indicators, anachronisms, yeah, or that type of a thing, where, like, you judge the environment by the indicators around it. These are things, yeah, that would lead me to believe that there is no mass murder occurring here.
You'd think.
So, maybe, but
I don't know that that's what the
scene contained. If the mass murder occurred
yet
at a yoga event, then what do you do? As a Quaker, I've experienced a few things where people are left kind of, they don't know what to do.
Okay.
So, for instance, try to imagine if we're in, a nursing home in one of their spare rooms, and one of the staff comes in to a Quaker meeting. It's unlike any other religious event where there's a guy standing up front telling you what you should think about God, right?
Right, right.
It's just, say, six or eight people in chairs, vaguely in a circle,
mm-hmm,
not speaking. Many times their eyes are closed. You don't know what's going on.
Right.
And people kind of, putter around for a second, and then they leave the room, and, whatever. Now, I'm not saying that it's exactly the same. I'm just saying many times people don't, they're inexperienced in this, and it's okay. But I guess I don't know that somebody would jump to, this is a yoga class. They should jump to, this is a meditative experience, and, you should leave these people alone, but, I guess they didn't.
Shavasana? Am I saying that?
Shavasana.
Right? Shavasana. What is Shavasana?
A corpse pose. It's the Sanskrit translation of corpse pose.
Okay, so yeah. What in practical, how do you know if somebody's doing the corpse pose properly? What does that look like? Describe it.
Essentially, you're lying down supine on a mat or
which
on
is that?
Floor.
A face up or face down?
Face up.
Okay.
And typically your arms are laying down by your sides, right beside your body with the palms flipped facing up. And you're supposed to be very relaxed, right?
Eyes closed.
Your hips are rolling out, so your feet are kind of rolling out to the side. So we call it the corpse pose because if you happened to be dead, you might look like that.
Right.
Yep.
But as you already pointed out, there would be indicators. These people are probably on mats. They're probably wearing some form of workout attire. Yep. I will also say though, when we do the ending Shavasana meditation, it's typically around 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're only laying down there for 30 seconds. I mean, sometimes it's 5 to possibly 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So if they're laying like that for a long time, it might be like, they've been laying down for a long time.
But these are dog walkers. They're on their way past.
Yeah.
They got a moment in time. I think
yeah.
that, so for one, this pose is great for spinal alignment.
Yep.
And it's great to, everybody needs a little time during the day to just sort of get mindful and rest.
Okay.
And so I like it for that.
Little meditation. Quote, they reported to the police they'd seen somebody walking around in a room lit up with candles and what looked like dead people. Yeah. And what looked like dead people lying all over the floor, yoga teacher Millie Laws told the Washington Post. The couple thought it was some sort of ritual mass killing. Lincolnshire police later confirmed that an emergency call had been made at 8:56 p.m. with good intentions, the police added. Officers attended were happy to report that everyone was safe and well. The Seascape Cafe, which was hosting the yoga class at the North Sea Observatory, posted to social media on Thursday to thank the police for their prompt response to the scene. Dear general public, the statement said, please be mindful that the observatory has lots of yoga classes happening in the evenings. We are not part of any mad cult or crazy clubs. Well, except the one that subscribes to the statist police.
I'm just saying, where do I sign up for the mad cults?
Well, you got to start one. Right?
Right,
you don't just sign up for one.
I'm just not motivating in that way.
Speaking to the Washington...
If you're going to start a cult, you need to attract a bunch of young women. It's only going to be a bunch of fat white guys.
The college is just down the road, and school's in, bro.
Right, they're not interested. Ask them. Hey, I got this guy. He's starting a cult. Not interested.
They probably just look at you vaguely and be like...
They're like, we read this book. No thanks.
My dad likes that band. Screw off. Right? The cult. Speaking to the Washington Post in comments published on Friday, Laws, the person, says that she couldn't help but laugh at the idea that she had been briefly suspected of being responsible for what would have been one of the worst massacres in recent UK history. It's hilarious, the 22-year-old who only moved to town 3 months ago reacted.
Welcome.
On the flip
you
side.
Moved to crazy town.
Right, yeah. On the flip side, these people were managing to enter such a deep state of relaxation that, although it's awful to compare to death, they look so relaxed and comfortable. I mean, you can say the medication worked, though it's definitely ironic they were in corpse pose, she said.
I'd say she's successful here, and she's taking it with the right attitude. She shouldn't have any bad attitude about this. You know, the town's the mad cult. She's just a firewoman.
Well, in this case, I think it's the observers, the dog walkers. They claim it's a couple, so I don't know if they're male couple, female, both, whatever. I assume it's two people.
Well, the cops didn't know that there were yoga classes going on at this place.
Maybe not, you know.
I mean, we know that, you know, cops aren't proactive. They're reactive, right?
Yeah.
So they're getting a call from a concerned citizen, right? Like, we saw dead people.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, Jimmy, Bill, go check it out, right? Whoever got in trouble that day or that week, whoever was low on the chief's totem pole that week, gets assigned the duty to go check out the mass murder. Or, like, one of the detectives, like, steps up, I'll go look into this, because this sounds like, oh, my gosh, if this is true, right?
Yoga pants.
They're trying to climb the ladder, right, within the police department, right? No, I definitely want this case, right? And so they'll go after it. But, like, casual observation should have tipped you off, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right?
I think this is just a case of somebody not really being well-versed in other cultures and other practices, and they just probably could not fathom why anyone would ever lay on the ground.
And, like, I realize that if you believe that you've come upon a scene of something grisly and that you're probably not going to, like, poke your head and go,
yeah, is everything okay in here?
Hey, what's going on here, guys? You know, what are you doing? You know, but, like, that could have happened as well. Right, there were two of them. One could have gone, you know, to call, and the other one could have been like, hey, I'm going to go, you know, I don't know. You never know.
My first clue wouldn't be to call the cops, but I think in this instance it's probably going to be largely benign to have done so. I don't think I would be in the same instance as these women, but then again, if there had been a mass killing, the largest in recent history in Great Britain,
like,
and they just
like
walked by.
Seven people or something?
Yeah, that's a lot for Great Britain.
Well, no, I mean,
and they saw no blood, by the way.
It's a lot for Britain, but not for Great Britain. It has to be a much larger number to be a lot for Great Britain.
It
has to be a great number.
The one thing I think about this, Nikki, you reminded me about getting down on the ground. If you cease to get down on the ground and get back up, get back up, you won't. You won't be able to at some point. Like, as an aging adult, I'm just saying, you've got to get down and get back up. Like, 10 days, get down, get back up, 10 times a day or something in order to maintain the ability to do
that. And that's why we notice, like, in Japanese people like that, where culturally they sit on the floor a lot, they do a lot of stuff like that.
Asian squat.
Yeah, they're a lot more flexible, and, you know, I just watched the documentary on Blue Zones, right? And that was one of the things they noticed, like, a lot of these Blue Zones, their life is exercise, right? So they're like, these Japanese people that are getting up and down off the ground, that's like doing 100 squats a day.
Right, yeah.
When you're sitting in a chair, it's not that much effort for you to stand up off the chair a few times.
I speak from personal experience, having recently refloored some of my house, and also
yoga.
And recovered the front porch.
Refloor the house.
Getting down and then
getting down.
Back up again at age 51 is not what it used to be at say age 22, for example. It's a completely different thing. You're like, okay, I'm going to take a bunch of stuff and put it low now so that when I'm on the ground, I can just sort of move around on the ground and take care of stuff until I run out. Then I'll have to get back up and then, you know, repeat the process. Instead of grabbing a little bit of stuff, getting down, getting back up, go get some more, you know. You plan
hardest working man in talk radio.
Yeah. Probably.
I mean, you've got to integrate exercise in your day or you're going to just age. I've got little reminders to do things.
Yeah.
I do 12 burpees in the morning and 12 burpees at night. I do Asian squats throughout the day. I've got these little reminders to do this stuff. And it looks funny, but Yeah, I don't know. So, like, relatively if you're just, healthy for 52.
If you're just outside, like, walking around and, like, you know, your watch or your calendar, you know, notifies you to, like, do you just start doing them right there?
I try to get someplace where people aren't going to notice me. The Asian squat is a little, it's different. It's not like squats. It's not like body squats. It's okay. Just sort of getting down into that position and staying there and doing things. So they'll garden for hours in this position.
Right.
I just want to be sort of used to it enough that I can, you know, before, when I started, I couldn't get all the way down into the Asian squat position.
Right. Yeah.
And now I can, and I can hold it for, you know, as long as I want to, basically. I'm not holding it for a very long period of time, maybe 30, 60 seconds, something like that. And then just so I feel like, yep, my body's relaxed, and then I get back up and I go on. Well,
but even if you do that, you can't outrun Father Time, at least not yet.
At some point, I will die. Unless they figure out some hack for it. We'll see.
Which, I mean, science now is at a point with genetic programming. I don't know what else to call it, right? Gene splicing.
Yeah, there's
right?
a term. It's epigenetics.
Yes, thank you. Is that a point now where they're figuring out stuff at a lightning pace? Like, I'm not even on top of all the stuff that they're figuring out. I know that they've made great strides in just what I call BCI, which is or CBI, computer brain computer interfaces.
Mm-hmm.
They've made exceeding strides in that to a point where they're
blind people can see.
Yeah, I talked about this recently, maybe even Friday on this show, where like they have the ability now to attach, I'm going to call them leads, to your eyeball, and then that transmits information to these leads, and then a computer deconstructs that and creates an image so that a blind person can see at least a little bit.
Yeah, which is amazing.
And the clarity of that is growing. The last I looked into it, which was 10, 15 years ago, they were at a point where, you know, they got to drill a hole in the back of your head and implant a thing that stays there. It's got to have a battery that, you know, you could wear at the time. It was just something that clipped onto a guy's belt with a couple of wires coming off his head or whatever. But that's like, now it's like, oh, they can just put like a watch battery inside of the thing and like you got to replace it every couple of years or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, we are seeing a lot of developments in medical science.
Yes.
But we're also seeing, you know, the younger generation is not expected to live longer than their parents, and that is the first time we have seen that in recent history.
That's diet.
And it is due to diet. I mean, we're seeing astronomical rates of obesity because of the, you know, government subsidizing corn syrup and
all
wheat and
food,
all the processed food.
You could have just stopped with corn. They subsidize corn.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So I also think we're becoming a lot less active. So when we are seeing those blue zones where they have the highest amount of centennials, people who are over 100 years old, what you're seeing is people who are not really like hitting the gym and exercising. Their lifestyle is relatively active. So they're gardening.
Yep.
They're walking. They're walking everywhere. They're walking, you know, uphill, downhill. They're living in houses that have
barefoot,
three to four
both ways in the snow.
Right. Yeah. Right. But they, you know, they have, you know, multi-story houses that they, so they're constantly climbing chairs like the Asian people that are sitting on the floor and then getting up. And maybe you do that like 50 times a day. And that's like the equivalent of doing squats.
Yeah, it's true.
All sorts of things like that. Natural foods. They're not eating processed foods. They're not eating corn syrup. They're not eating. They're not eating wheat that is sprayed with glyphosate. Yep. They're not eating all of these like artificial dyes and all of this crap that we are eating in, you know, the American diet.
Right.
That is literally making people extremely sick, causing cancer, causing obesity, causing diabetes. Most of those diseases are absolutely preventable, and it all comes down to diet and lifestyle. So that's
true.
Just, you know, my quick health rant.
Somehow
like
we,
to sneak that in.
In the U.S. And probably many places around the world, we've gotten used to things like, I mean, chairs are a good example. You know, my mom buys these toilets. They're a little higher than regular toilets because they're easier for her. Well, why wouldn't you want something that's easier? That sounds great. It's, you know, what's the big deal? Well, now you've got to hire a personal trainer so that you can, you know, rather than having a potty that's closer to the ground, in fact, that would help you to be able to get on and off something like this longer.
Yeah.
You've got one higher.
My grandmother had a chair that actually lifted up. It was like a mechanical old person chair.
Yeah.
And it would like kind of like almost like throw her off of, or like give her like a boost off of it.
Yeah, these get marketed
she couldn't
to
stand up.
Yeah, these get marketed to the elderly on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
I read an argument recently, and Mark, I want to get your opinion on this specifically, but you can chime in too, Nikki, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That innovation is not fueled by market competition; it is instead fueled by the lazy. Because the lazy are always trying to figure out how to do something easier with less time, you know, less effort and that kind of a thing. And it's the lazy people who are sort of the, you know, the champions of innovation.
My dad was a foreman at the mold plant. This is making molds for glass.
M-O-U-L-D.
Yeah. M-O, yeah.
Yeah, mold. Not N-O-L-D, like the green stuff that grows on the side of your house.
Yeah, I don't know how to spell it,
That's
guess.
Moss, actually.
But he was at the mold plant at Tropicana in Bradenton, Florida.
Yeah.
And he got like a watch when he retired. He'd been there a long time. Now, he was the highest level you could be as a worker. He wasn't management.
Okay.
But he was in charge of men. And his advice to me was hire a lazy man because they'll figure out how to do the job better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a hardworking man will do what he's told and do it with a smile on his face.
Yeah, work smarter, not harder.
A lazy man will figure out how to do the job as quickly and as easily as possible so that he can loaf around longer. I think there's something to this statement. I personally find lazy men very annoying to manage, probably because I am a lazy manager and do not want to manage people. But I think that there's something to this whole concept that you want to make things constantly be innovating.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree. I think there definitely needs to be a balance. Like, you want someone who, and to me, it's not necessarily lazy, right? Because I think of lazy, and I think of that's a bad thing. And I'm thinking, you know, if somebody's lazy, they're not going to be innovative. So it's definitely something else. I like the term work smarter, not harder. I don't know what I would exactly
I like it too.
Coin that as, but.
We're out of time. Thank you to our callers. Thank you, Mark, for guesting. Thank you, Nikki, as always. Thank you to our listeners. If you missed any part of tonight's show, please find the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks and peace.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.